Neuropod, the neuroscience podcast from Nature, produced in association with the Dana Foundation, on the web at www.dana.org.
Coming up in this special SFN episode, nanotubes and neurons.
Neurons love to grow on this carbon nanotube substrate, and their spontaneous collective activity is boosted.
Backyard science.
There's a rich culture of amateurs in astronomy, but there's not one in neuroscience.
There is none in neuroscience. Maybe the reason why is that such, you know, advanced equipment is out of the reach of the normal person.
The project we have here is called the $100 Spike.
And a brain-computer interface allows a patient with locked-in syndrome to produce speech.
As you can imagine, it's a hellish sort of situation to be in, to be unable to move but still be fully conscious, and it's given him some hope.
All that and more highlights from the annual Society for Neuroscience meeting in Washington, D.C. Hello and welcome to Neuropod. I'm Kerry Smith. Coming up shortly, the first brain-computer interface to produce speech. But first, a poster that drew a crowd in the History and Education section of the hall. It was entitled The $100 Spike. The presenters had set themselves the challenge of cobbling together a device that could measure electrical activity in cricket neurons for under $100. For reasons unknown to Nature, their university had prevented them from presenting the poster under its name, so they were using a pseudonym when I went to see them present their project on a very high-tech flip chart, which accounted for seven whole dollars of their budget. They first described a situation where they envisaged their low-cost equipment might come in handy.
My name is Timothy Marzullo. I'm a postdoc at a major Midwestern research university.
My name is Greg Gage, and I'm from a large Midwestern research university.
So, Carrie, it's nice to meet you. The project we have here is called the $100 Spike.
This is a very impressive flip chart.
Oh, yes, yes. So, you wake up tomorrow morning, zombie invasion happens. Even in Britain, all your colleagues, all your loved ones, they all get infected with the zombie virus. And you, the scientist, are running away. But you're smart, you're resourceful, you survive.
That's good to know.
What would you do?
That's a really good question, and this is a big question mark, so yeah. I'm hoping you're going to tell me.
Well, me personally, I would want to be a scientist. So, I'm from the Midwest. Next year, Society for Neuroscience will be in Chicago.
And so what happens, like, next year at SFN, if you go to SFN, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see, like, in a completely desolate city, elk are going to be on the freeways, buildings are collapsing. And if you go to SFN, if you walk around the posters, it's going to be only you there.
It's good to know it's still happening, though, despite
me being
the only person in attendance.
Someone did set up the posters for us, but you're the only one there. But the shocking thing is, you go over to the vendor section, it's desolate. You cannot buy equipment. But you can still go to the stores, you know. You can go to Radio Shack, which is an American store. You can buy, like, electronics. And you can also go to an Ace Hardware store and buy some raw materials. So our goal for you is to be able to still publish. You know, if you go to J Neuroscience in 2009.
Well, I think we try to go for Nature, don't you think?
At that point, I think
you probably should.
So, but you still have your laptop.
Yeah.
And you want to do recordings from something you can find right outside your door. So we're looking at maybe using a cricket as our model. And using our laptop and a cricket, what do we need to do in order to record a spike? And how much do you think that would cost?
Okay. Crickets would survive, wouldn't they, I suppose?
Crickets would survive.
Any kind of invertebrate, this is, you know, we're thinking.
So if we go to Ace Hardware, you can pick up some just, like, stuff that you could find for really, really cheap. And we found these for less than, what, $35?
Yeah, the most expensive component is a $2 wing nut.
So the question is, how much would this cost if you were to go to the vendor booth today? What do you think it is?
It's tricky, isn't it? Oh, my. There are more question marks.
Wait for it.
It's going to take me at least two more sheets of question marks to think of an answer.
It would cost you as much as it would be to buy a luxury automobile.
Wow.
That is a lot of money.
So Tim and Greg settled on crickets as their cheap and easily available experimental model. They talked me through this stage and how they might publish their discoveries.
So you can see there's three crickets here in a flask. Just chilling out after about 10, 15 minutes.
Little do they know.
Little do they know that they are they are going to be the recipients of the newest of Nature papers with only one author. We could write the editorial. We could do the news and views. I could do the podcast to myself.
Listen to it on while you're dissecting crickets.
Yeah, I know. So what you do is you take a cheap candle, you heat it up, and you put some wax on a cover slip. Then you put the cricket on the wax. And then you cut off all its arms and legs.
Okay.
Very important.
Nice move.
Okay, then you focus in on...
Great news if you can get a Nature paper out of it, but what about the equipment's other advantages? And what are the downsides?
All right, so what are the advantages of our $100 spike? Number one, it's less than $100, cheap. You know, components cost less than $50. And it's scalable. So you can imagine, like, this is made with very small pieces of wood and very small screws. But what if you use larger pieces of wood, like 2x4s, or you use larger screws? You could then scale it up to have larger subjects, you know?
It's scalable to any organism you desire.
And I see here you've helpfully labeled this diagram of the scalable version with the word human.
Yeah, that's exactly. That would be our goal. Maybe we can do, you know, experiments on the zombies.
You know, yeah, of course, that's not right. You know, that's a good point, Carrie. Let's change it. Because what we really mean is zombie. You know, since we're inspired by, you know, Will Smith, we want to, like, try to get our loved ones back. So, you know, that's the ultimate goal of this project.
Jen, you want to talk about the disadvantages?
Okay, the disadvantages, like I said, there's still a slight degree of wobble, but I think the stability will be improved. The other disadvantage is that this is all handmade. It takes about 20 hours to assemble all the pieces of wood and glue all the pieces
there's
together.
There's some real artisanship going on.
Oh, yeah. The third is that since it's handmade, it makes the truing difficult. And the fourth disadvantage is that it doesn't work yet.
Oh, that's a minor point, really,
isn't it? That's a minor point.
It's the last sentence of the discussion.
But the project does have a serious side.
So, besides all the fun and games of presenting this, we really do have a solid science basis for this. Why don't you explain this?
We hearken back to the days of the old astronomies, where you used to have amateur astronomers out there sort of making their own observations on the galaxies.
We still have amateur astronomers. You know, the Shoemaker-Levy comet was discovered by an amateur. There's a rich culture of amateurs in astronomy, but there's not one in neuroscience.
There is none in neuroscience. But maybe the reason why is that such... you know, advanced equipment is out of the reach of the normal person. But if you had something that was very cheap, the goal would be that you have a Nature article that has you as the author, and what is your affiliation? It's just your home address. Because everything you needed, you didn't need any special things other than the $100 spike kit and something you found in your backyard.
What we hope is that when you come to Chicago, if you survive the zombie apocalypse, that you won't see us in the education section, but you'll see us in the vendor section. So you can buy one of these $100 spikes, take it back to the UK, and you can do some research on your own as well.
That would be fabulous. Because yes. We love cricket in the UK.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
And Tim and Greg tell me that the idea is to make the spike sensor into a kit to get it out to all the amateur neuroscientists out there. There's more satirical neuroscience from Tim at his blog, marzullohead.blogspot.com. I'm Kerry Smith. Thanks for listening.
Neuropod, the neuroscience podcast from Nature. Produced in association with the Dana Foundation. On the web at www.dana.org.